international news to catch you up on as we start the week. I'm Coral Azuz. Welcome to the show. First, we're reporting on an incident that the U.S. military is calling a, quote, horrible tragedy of war. On August 26th, as American combat troops were winding down their withdrawal from Afghanistan, a terrorist attack killed more than 170 people at an airport in the Afghan capital. Among the victims were 13 U.S. service members. A terrorist group called ISIS-K said it was responsible for the bombings. 3 days after that, the U.S. military said it had launched a strike against a suspected member of ISIS-K. An American drone destroyed a car. U.S. officials said they believed a terrorist bomber and explosives were inside it, though witnesses said civilians were killed in the strike. Now, American military officials are apologizing for the drone strike and calling it a horrible mistake. An investigation has revealed that instead of a terrorist, the attack killed an aid worker and 9 other civilians. Lawmakers in the U.S. government say they plan to find out what mistakes were made in the lead-up to this strike, and the Biden administration is reportedly trying to determine how it can continue to target terrorists in Afghanistan without making similar mistakes. The U.S. government says it does have the tools for successful strike missions, but intelligence and military officials say they're infinitely harder without U.S. troops on the ground in Afghanistan. The U.S. intelligence community and the military have worked together for years to take out terror groups, but it appears that a CIA warning about this particular incident came too late.
On the heels of the Pentagon admitting on Friday to a tragic mistake that left 10 Afghan civilians dead in a drone strike in Kabul last month, we are now learning that in the final seconds before the Hellfire missile from a drone tore through the car of an aid worker, the CIA issued a warning that civilians were likely in the area, including possibly children, inside the vehicle. That's according to 3 sources speaking with CNN. It was the military that was in charge of the strike, and it's unclear whether the CIA knew that the military had decided to pull the trigger. A miscommunication adding to the intelligence failure of this operation that led to the deaths of 10 people from a single family that the top U.S. general had called a righteous strike. On Friday, the head of Central Command, General Frank McKenzie, which oversaw the war in Afghanistan, admitted that the civilians were not connected to ISIS, calling the strike a tragic mistake. This is what General McKenzie told CNN when asked how it went from righteous strike to what we know now.
We knew from the very beginning there was a possibility of civilian casualties. I think we still thought we had good reason to have taken that strike, and it took us gathering the facts to change that. We didn't take the strike because we thought we were wrong. We took the strike because we thought we had a good target. It takes a little while to uncover some of those things.
General McKenzie said that they had intelligence that a white Toyota Corolla would be involved in an imminent ISIS attack when they tracked the white Toyota Corolla of 43-year-old aid worker Zamrai Ahmadi to the compound where he lived near the airport. That's when the strike happened. Almost 3 weeks later, the U.S. military now apologizing and saying it's considering paying reparations to the family as it reviews how future strikes will be carried out.
At part of America's southern border with Mexico, there's been a surge in the number of people who've entered the United States illegally. Over the weekend, officials counted more than 14,000 people at a makeshift camp at the Del Rio International Bridge. It connects Mexico with the U.S. state of Texas, but most of the undocumented migrants who've gathered on the Texas side are from Haiti. The Caribbean island nation is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Earlier this year, the Biden administration announced that Haitians would have temporary protected status in the United States. What that does is allow people to legally work in the U.S. if their home countries have experienced armed conflict or natural disasters. Haiti has seen its share of disasters. An earthquake that struck there in 2010 was estimated to have killed hundreds of thousands of people. In July of this year, Haiti's president was assassinated, and in August, a new earthquake struck the country, killing more than 2,000 people. Shortly afterward, the Biden administration temporarily suspended deportation flights to Haiti. It stopped sending many Haitians who'd illegally entered the U.S. back to their home country. Critics say news of that, in addition to the temporary protected status of Haitians, contributed to the increase of illegal crossings into Texas. The Biden administration says it has resumed and will increase the number of deportation flights to Haiti, and that America's borders are not open. But the situation at the Del Rio Bridge has added to what critics call a crisis of undocumented migrants at the U.S. border with Mexico.
Sky condition clear.
Traffic DPS helicopter 160 will be taken off from the north ramp.
So all of these people just crossed?
Yep.
I mean, this is hundreds of people.
Oh, it's not hundreds, it's thousands.
This stretch of the U.S. southern border is raising eyebrows.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
Nothing. This is the RCD thing we've ever seen down here.
Migrants, mostly Haitians, say officials, crossing the Rio Grande into Del Rio, Texas from Mexico.
We can see at least three different spots where migrants are crossing over into the United States.
Men, women, children flocking to the area under the international bridge that connects Texas to Mexico, where more than 12,000 migrants are waiting to get processed by federal immigration authorities, according to the Del Rio mayor.
This is setting the nuclear bomb alarm that this is no longer sustainable, acceptable.
The local mayor, a Democrat, pleading for the Biden administration to boost resources, saying that at the current rate, it will take 2 weeks to process these migrants. And signs they're having to settle in are visible from the air. A makeshift camp is going up, and the mayor says at least one woman has given birth. Most of the migrants will be expelled or placed in removal proceedings, say federal authorities, who also say more resources are coming, and that it's already providing water, towels, and portable toilets. Buses like this one with dozens of people are dropped off at this migrant shelter every day. This group is asked if they're vaccinated against COVID. About half the adults raise their hands, some holding proof they got the shots. All this as the Department of Homeland Security faces a series of challenges, including more than 200,000 migrant encounters last month, the abrupt resignation of two top DHS officials, the Afghan resettlement effort, and now this sudden spike of migrants in Del Rio.
These people are desperate, they're determined, and they're determined to get here.
Has a humanitarian crisis unfolding at the southern border of the United States.
To better understand what's going on under the bridge, I requested an interview and a ride-along with Customs and Border Protection. Those requests were denied. Rosa Flores, CNN, Del Rio, Texas.
After 3 days in orbit at an altitude of about 350 miles over our heads, four non-astronauts splashed back down to Earth on Saturday evening. It was the first time an entire crew went to space without a professional on board. There wasn't much they had to do flight-wise. Their SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule was fully autonomous, so the civilians passed the time listening to music, observing how their bodies responded to space, phoning home to their families, and watching the Earth go by. There were a couple of technical problems that had to be addressed with a temperature sensor and a waste management fan. The trip likely cost more than $200 million. It was funded by one of the passengers, a 38-year-old billionaire who also helped raise a similar amount of money for St. Jude Children's Hospital. 10-second trivia. Which of these European landmarks was completed the most recently? Brandenburg Gate, Leaning Tower of Pisa, Arc de Triomphe, or St. Basil's Cathedral? The Arc de Triomphe in Paris was completed in 1836, making it the youngest landmark on this list. The extraordinary arch has seen a lot over the past 185 years, but we're pretty sure this is the first time it's been draped in silver-blue plastic fabric and red ropes. It took several months, $16.5 million, and 270,000 square feet of polypropylene, and the arch will stay wrapped for 2 weeks. But why? This is the vision of and a tribute to two famous artists who specialized in large-scale events that interrupted everyday life. So now that that's all wrapped up, was the artwork worth the effort? It sure took a lot of Monet, it wasn't Matisse, and we don't know if it'll ever happen Gauguin. But if you're the type whose day gotta make a statement in every saison, maybe that is your art of triumph. We've told you how the only way to get your school mentioned on CNN 10 is to subscribe and leave a comment on our YouTube channel. Tate's Creek High School knows all about it. Shout out to our viewers in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm Carl Azus.